Well, well, well. Of all the people to be reviewing this dumpster fire of a universe, I'm joking, or am I? This week we take a look at Zack Snyder's Justice League in all its glory, all 4 hours of it. A remake, or the version it was always meant to be? Joining us this week, as ever, is Zara Jackson.
Hello, hello.
And Joe O'Hagan.
Hi, I need friends.
So how's everybody doing this week? All good?
Really good, yeah.
Yeah, fine.
So we sat down this weekend and all watched Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
4 hours. Did anybody watch it in one sitting, or was it a two or three parter?
Mine was two.
Mine was two.
Was it? So was mine. But that's only because my internet connection sucked in the last hour, so I had to forgo it until the next morning. Otherwise, yeah, I watched it all in one night.
2 hour slots.
Yeah. How did everybody watch it?
By completely legal means.
HBO Max, of course.
The HBO Max, yes. We all have
a subscription.
Not Lividia, Levidia. Not that.
Yeah.
Never. They should be our sponsor. Not that we ever watch their content.
I don't know what they are. What are they? I'd have to Google it.
This Lividia you speak of. I've never heard of them, nor used their service.
Like Subway or something.
Yeah.
Sounds like someone's aunt.
Aunt Lividia.
Yeah.
Sounds
around the corner.
Chlamydia. So first impressions, what did you guys think? Now, if anybody's been listening to previous episodes, they'll know I'm the resident, I don't know what you'd even call it.
You start off because you're the one whose mind needed to be changed by this, really. Mm-hmm. You know, so what did you think?
I was surprised. My biggest concern was I couldn't really distinguish the difference in my mind, the difference between Batman versus Superman and the Justice League. Because I've spent so little time with DC, I couldn't really remember what happened in what movie. So going into Zack Snyder's cut was like watching the Justice League for the very first time. There was very little I could actually recall.
Mm-hmm.
Well, immediately I actually thought that the perfectly, totally, absolutely legitimate website that I was streaming the movie from, I was watching it in 4:3, and I thought that that's because I was streaming it from a, air quotes, legitimate site. I didn't realize that was a Zack Snyder thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was something I had to put up with because I was streaming it from a totally legitimate site.
Yeah.
I saw that in an article, yeah.
I thought that was really interesting. It was interesting. I didn't realize it was interesting until I did a research, and then I realized. Does anybody know why he chooses to do that?
It's the IMAX format, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he just didn't cut it down.
There's also a belief that you see more in that kind of IMAX or 4:3 ratio, because for certain standard theatrical viewing or widescreen, just home television viewing, that image is going to be cropped for widescreen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so you'll actually see less on the widescreen. So
I don't think you're missing anything simply because the image really is not cropped, you know, so you're seeing everything that the image has to offer. But I totally forgot about it after about 10 minutes.
So did I. Absolutely.
I just sort of got used to it. And then by the end of it, whenever it shut it down and everything, and it went back to like 16:9 on my display, I was like, oh, okay, you know, I was watching 4:3 for like 2 hours, and yeah, I don't know. I don't have an opinion either way. I just got totally used to it.
There was one scene, there was like a super wide, and it came into, I think it was whenever they get to Steppenwolf's lair. It just drew my attention to the aspect ratio for some reason. I don't know why, just because it was maybe a big wide and I saw the black at the edge of my screen. And then I remembered about it. But apart from that, like Joe, I didn't realize at all. I actually think it was nice that it was like in a neat little, more like a box than mother box, more than like stretched out. Sometimes when things are widescreen, they're very like, you know, they look kind of stretched. So it was kind of cool.
Yeah. I was waiting for that whole WandaVision moment where the aspect ratio was going to change.
See, we're so used to that now. We're just looking for it.
That's like a Christopher Nolan moment where it switches from widescreen to IMAX format. And that's always really jarring to me. Switched to aspect ratio in the middle of the film. Stop it. And then it goes back to it after an action scene.
Stop it, Chris.
So I'm glad it just sort of stuck to the 4:3 rather than switching back and forth.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt as though the action scenes were pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
you know, the fighting scenes. And I may towards the end have been getting a little sick of the slow motion. I think they were being a little played. Like usually slow motion is maybe done, I feel like, for a few seconds. But I kind of felt like whenever we went into a slow motion sequence, that would last for maybe 5 to 10 seconds. I'm not sure. And then it happened a lot. And I thought it was just being a little overused to the point that when I saw a slow motion scene, although something might've been very attractive to look at, it was getting a bit repetitive.
Yeah.
Anybody else is this also just the Flash stuff, or is it other, just like other slow-mo fighting stuff?
I'm not actually.
By the end of it, I really noticed every time the Flash was, he was slowed down, even though he was going really fast. Like the juxtaposition speed, of that threw me a little bit. Well, as an audience, we know he's going really fast, so he doesn't need to be slowed down to show us that he's going, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It seemed like weird.
I know they do that in movies all the time. They show fast characters by making them slow. It's just, it's so sort of ironic in that way.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
The one bit that I got distracted by the slow motion was on Themyscira, whenever Queen Hippolyta was running out of the tombs and, you know, they were knocking down the pillars and she was running out before it all collapsed. And she stepped outside and she wasn't running really fast, but she was in slow motion. I was like, why are we in slow motion here? Like, you're supposed to be getting away, Hippolyta. Run, bitch. But that was really the only bit where I was like, yeah.
You know, we'd be looking at a blur otherwise. Just
that she's not like a super fast character.
Yeah.
So
yeah, okay, right. Fair enough. That's fair enough. Well, speaking actually of The Flash, I was surprised actually. Like I haven't watched The Flash television series. It's not a character, not that I'm not interested in him. I do like The Flash actually as a DC character. He's one of the few I probably do enjoy. I just felt as though he has one of those costumes that's really, really, really difficult to get right and make look good on television.
Yeah.
I had that concern with Marvel's Captain America. To me, they did a brilliant job from the first right through the franchise. But I was surprised how much I actually really liked The Flash, that character. And I thought, and I had actually hoped that actor did the television series. He doesn't, but I'd hoped that he did, because I actually grew to quite enjoy him. His humor wasn't really great. I don't think he was on the mark, but there was something about him I really liked, actually, more so.
Ezra Miller, he's a really good actor. I've seen him in a few things. You know, he's been in Fantastic Beasts. He was in We Need to Talk About Kevin, and he was in
Fantastic Beasts,
A Wallflower.
That's where I seen him,
And he's a really, really good actor. He's quite good at being intense, but he's also good at being light as well. Mm-hmm. And just if we're going to like compare the Justice League with Zack Snyder's Justice League,
nice.
Then I hated him in the Justice League. I was like, shut up, you MCU quip machine. But in this, they really toned down the humor and, you know, it was sort of Zack Snyder's original version of him. And you're going, you're kind of humorous, but you're not overdoing it. And I much preferred him in this version. And plus he had like way cooler moments, especially the finale.
I actually agree, Joe, that I feel like the humor in this was more on the mark. I mean, in general, I think the dialogue in this movie was pretty awful. I think there was a lot of one-liners. I just, for some reason, the dialogue just didn't, it just rubbed me the wrong way.
Mm.
But the humor seemed more on point. I'm glad they weren't going for the kind of MCU standard, and they went with a different tone, which I really enjoyed.
What about you, Zara? Like, I think you had like fairly positive or at least neutral views on the Justice League before, Zara. So, what did you think of this one?
Yes, I did not mind it.
Just yes.
Looking back, that is my answer. whenever all the stuff about Whedon came out, I kind of thought back on it, and there were definitely problematic and uncomfortable, just icky stuff in it, which I hadn't really noticed, I suppose, first time I watched it. I didn't super love it. I really liked Batman versus Superman. I just thought the premise of that was just ridiculous and cool. But I really loved this. Yes, it was.
We're talking about the Justice League here. Let's leave BBS alone.
Well, I have an interesting point off what Zara just said.
Oh, okay.
I was just going to say
that now, or
I'll make it now. Just jump in. I was just going to say that I feel like I was surprised because Batman versus Superman was 3 hours long, and I've seen it twice in the cinema, and I could have shot myself the first time. So I would have had to have reanimated myself and shot myself again when I watched it the second time around. It dragged for me. Seriously. And yet I could sit and watch the Justice League 4 hours. I could have watched that in one sitting.
Yeah.
I was genuinely invested. You know, I just liked that they were able to kind of keep my attention that was a concern when I heard it was 4 hours long. And I remember hating Batman versus Superman. Although I love the premise, they just sucked the life out of that movie. Jesse Eisenberg was shit.
Oh, he was strange.
I agree with it being quite entertaining.
Strange.
Yeah.
Something about, I mean, when it came up part one, I was like, okay, we've got this. Stay
Tarantino.
I know. I really felt the time, guys. As soon as I was just like, oh, I don't know. And then it just seemed to go really quick. I know I split it into two parts, but each sitting was just like, oh, is that already worth 2 hours? Like it was, yeah I don't know. It seemed like nothing. Maybe because you watched Batman versus Superman in the cinema, Ryan, and I just watched it at home, just on like a Saturday night. I don't know. Chilling. We don't know. My fave little line came from The Flash. I don't know. I was watching the whole, I loved the whole thing. I just really liked it. But I just loved whenever The Flash said, is he coming with us now? Because we're not all going to fit in your car. I was gone. I was like, why did I audibly giggle? Like, what is
that one?
How have I come to this point in my life? And this line is just like what gets me. I just thought it was hilarious. But yeah, definitely like the whole, like getting to see more of Cyborg.
He also sucked.
I just loved his stuff. I don't know.
I disagree. Yeah.
Ray Fisher being disagree like, let's who? Break the internet.
I disagree with you. I liked Cyborg. I mean, he was not a factor in the Justice League, but at least here, you know, you got to see his powers. You got to see his backstory.
I didn't care for it. Didn't care for it. He sucked.
I liked him. I thought he was.
What about it? Did you not care for Ryan?
I just thought there were times where I thought the CGI didn't look that great.
Yeah.
And I just, it's not fair. Yeah, just the way his head was animated onto the body, I felt. Mm. And I understand that it's not fair, but I could not stop looking at him as DC's own ripoff version of Iron Man. Irregardless of who existed first, I don't know. I just kept seeing as, oh, great, he can fly, whoop-dee-doo, and he can pull a helmet, you know, like a shield around his face like Iron Man.
He did that once.
Doesn't matter. In the same way that Batman had these energy dispersing gauntlets, all I thought was, oh, they just took that from Black Panther. You know, I just felt like they were kind of...
Well, they took it from Wonder Woman.
Get any of these. Well, yeah, the gauntlets are Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Yeah, Alfred based it off Wonder Woman's gauntlets. But
okay.
Yeah, the CG in the film...
Questionable.
Not great. Yeah, it is questionable. Kind of like the MCU, but at the same time...
I was curious on your opinion of what looked better, because this is one of the most expensive movies ever made.
Yeah, because of this extra 70.
Or 370, let's say 400 million. Like, does it look that good?
I think the MCU looks better because it uses more...
Statement.
Yeah, it uses more... like architectural CG and architectural CG, it just looks seamless now. We can't even tell the difference.
Obviously.
Whereas
of
this
course.
Is much more character based.
Yeah.
But I will say that the CG for Cyborg looked better in the Snyder cut than it did in the Justice League one because the Snyder one is darker. And so there's more shadows to hide the CG and it looks a little bit more.
Can I just say I love the Justice
rather
League?
Rather than him turning up the saturation and the hue.
That's a great way to differentiate what we're talking about.
That's what everybody's calling it, the Justice League.
I've never heard it called
that. It's not the real Justice League.
I like it, yeah.
Me neither. So pretty much you made it up, Joe, in my mind.
I coined it. I get money for it.
yeah, we coined it here. People, I feel, there was a bit of backlash. People thought they were just wasting money re-editing, reshooting, reproducing this movie. And there is a dangerous precedence, I feel, from... fans are unhappy with a movie or a franchise, demand changes, and then the studio makes it. I kind of wondered, is that something positive moving forward or negative? But on the other side of the coin, I can see as well that for a movie that should have been 3+ hours originally, and it was cut down to about 2 with Joss Whedon, you would also argue then that there was a lot of production time, a lot of money wasted because there was a lot more content that wasn't used. So I'm kind of wondering what you guys thought about.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the circumstances, like in terms of why Joss had to, or why Zach had to step away in the first place, like probably that's quite a, you know, that's quite a rarity that happens and someone else takes over a script or takes
but
over
had already
the
been
director
shot,
role.
Though, hadn't it before Joss Whedon stepped in?
Well, it had been shot.
Quite a lot had been shot, I think.
Yeah, the majority of it had been shot, and then Joss came in and like
and kind of finished it off.
Well, yeah, finished it off in a bad way.
In his way.
Yeah, he took people in, got them to redo weird lines. Like do weird recuts. You can tell whenever Ben Affleck came back because his face is way fatter in the reshoots.
I thought that. That's why I put in the GIF for the big fat Batman into the group chat.
So he looked much slimmer in the Snyder cuts. Anytime you can, you know, like the whole "Do you bleed?" bit in it, you know, you can see him squeezing his face like, "Hey, bitch, sorry." And then Henry Cavill's lip in this, back to normal, because we didn't have weird CGI lip anymore. I didn't notice the lip until I saw the Snyder cut, and I was like, oh, that's what it's supposed to look like. Supposed to look like he's got some weird flattening going on.
But I seen that today. Funny enough, there's a reason behind it.
Yeah.
It was because
the mustache. Yeah, he was shooting Mission Impossible.
Yeah, for Mission Impossible Fallout, and he had to keep the mustache, so he had to CGI it out.
That was the Joss Whedon reshoots because he got him back to do things, whereas in the Snyder cut, because they filmed it all.
They basically reshot all the Superman scenes.
For the Superman scenes, I don't know why. He was fine in the Snyder cuts. I don't know why they needed to reshoot it.
You think it would be easier to shave a mustache and then stick on a fake mustache than CG out a mustache? Yeah.
The studio wouldn't let Henry Cavill shave his mustache because he was still contracted for reshoots and stuff for Mission Impossible.
Right.
So they were like, we'll just CG it out, because Joss had to have his reshoots.
I would love to see behind the scenes footage of Superman with a mustache.
It'd be sexy.
I'm sure it exists. Google it. It's there. I'm sure it's somewhere there. In the world.
Yeah, I thought that'd be funny. I think they did it very well. The hero shot. Do you know the kind of shot I'm talking about? It's whenever
they're standing.
Whenever Batman's charging and his Batmobile through the city being attacked by those.
Oh, yeah. And everyone's.
I was sitting there watching and I was thinking, like, I could just feel like, oh, this looks like it's going to be one of these moments. And before I even finished the thought in my head, you had this shot of all the characters. Batman was in his Batmobile and Aquaman was, you know, beside him, and you had the Flash running and everything. And it just slowed down. You had this perfect hero shot. And I thought, they just did it just as I was thinking it. And I really enjoyed that. I think they nailed that. For characters that I'm not keen on. For characters I'm really not that invested in, I really enjoyed seeing them come together like that. Yeah, and I love seeing Superman as a badass when they brought him back to life. And
Superman coming in, I'm not like a big Superman fan, but it was so cool whenever Steppenwolf was just like, I'm going to cut you in half, and Superman blocked it with a shoulder, not impressed, froze it, beat the fuck out
literally
of him.
It was blew so on good. It to freeze.
Yeah. So cool. Overpowered, but like...
Yeah. It's gratifying whenever like they show him being overpowered.
Yeah, but I love seeing him fight the Justice League. I really, really enjoyed that. And my favorite moment was when you see the Flash thinking, I'm going to just run around him here. And then it shows Superman just catching him at the side of his eye, and you're like, oh fuck, he can see him. You just know you're screwed. You're totally screwed.
I was glad that was a Snyder bit. I was like, good, they kept that bit in, because it feels like a cool Snyder moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was awesome. So Snyder kept none of Whedon stuff, right?
Yeah, basically, I just got rid of it all. Yeah.
Cool. Feel better. I haven't just watched that then, because I just...
There was a lot of differences, actually. I kind of made a few points on the kind of the main differences. So,
because I find that difficult to discern between what was, obviously I'd seen the film, but it was like a couple of years ago, so I hadn't rewatched it to watch the new one, because I thought that would be a lot.
I wasn't gonna rewatch it to rewatch the new one.
I know, right? It's a lot. I'm sure people have done that, and it's
probably the way to do it. But looking online, just kind of quickly to go through a few points. So some of the main differences was the Josh Whedon's version was PG, whereas this was more R-rated because of the violence and the language. The extended action scenes in Zack Snyder's cut. So they had the Amazon fight scenes, Superman's fight scene with the Justice League, Wonder Woman stopping the terrorists, and the battle below the penitentiary.
Yeah.
So these were all extended battles.
And all the gods and stuff.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Most of the Superman scenes were reshot, I think, kind of just to make it more in line with a darker tone. Then we'd already said about the mustache being digitally removed. There was more time spent exploring the aftermath and return of Superman, or the aftermath, sorry, of Superman's death and return. Mm-hmm. So we had the black suit, and Superman was meeting Alfred, and Lois was spending more time grieving, and we were seeing that, and at the memorials kind of site which was interesting. They brought back Martian Manhunter, who Joss Whedon had cut.
I don't
recall whether he was or wasn't in the original version, but apparently he wasn't.
No, so he wasn't.
Zack Snyder brought him back. And then Flash saving Iris West. So that was the girl in the car crash at the start. So that sets up his own solo movie, apparently.
And his dad and stuff.
Yeah, and his whole kind of like love affair, I think, that he has with her in the future.
Yeah.
So she must come back into it. Even that scene for me just kind of veer off point a little bit. That scene seemed really odd to me just because it didn't make sense. I mean, I get the lorry was barreling down the street and the driver wasn't paying attention. She wasn't driving that fast. She had just pulled out from parking.
Yeah.
I imagine she wasn't going from 0 to 60, you know, in like a residential or a commercial street. So I would imagine she was merely pulling away at 15, 20 miles per hour. So I imagine if she had hit the side of the lorry,
you don't know, this is a superhero.
She would have came to a complete stop. I don't imagine the car would have flipped violently into the air and thrown itself, you know, an entire block down the street and exploded. I don't think like that to me just seemed really unrealistic. And I felt like Zack Snyder lingered on the scene a little bit too much, trying to romanticize the whole thing. I enjoyed it. The car thing seemed odd and I felt like he lingered on that way too much. But
drama.
It feel a little bit lingery, but then because it was all in slow-mo, how do you make a scene like that feel faster?
Put it back into normal mode.
There, and the music as well.
Yeah, the music was weird. The music was
corny. The music was weird.
That's a good song, but the version and the, it's just kind of like, okay.
Yeah, like the needle drops in this film where the music just started, sometimes you were like, what? I would agree with that one. I don't like the music there. I didn't like the music whenever Aquaman was just like walking off the pier. That felt too, I don't know, out of place. And then
I don't even remember that bit.
Yeah. And then the bit where the wee like the Swedish girls or whatever or whoever they are, they're like
that
singing.
Was creepy.
That was weird.
That was weird.
I mean, they were beautifully sung, but also just I thought they were gonna like grow fangs and just I don't know. I just thought they were gonna attack somewhere or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought they were going to become like, what's the demon things, the flying things? I don't know. I thought it was going to be some kind of weird melt moment or something. It just kind of scared
of us
me. But I mean, beautiful
vampires,
singing.
So.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just so scared.
I think they rebuilt the cyborg origin story, showing more about his the full scope of his powers and his abilities and what he can do. And then more time was spent on his relationship or lack of with his father. But again, Cyborg for me is just he's always been boring. I enjoy him in Teen Titans, oddly enough, but he's just one of those characters. I think he's really hard to do well. I find him really boring, and he pissed me off royally at the end of the movie. Whenever, spoiler alert, he's trying to hack the fucking mother box, and the Flash is running around trying to build up a charge, and the Flash is asking him like, "I'm ready," and he's sitting going, and he's not even communicating. That I was like, tell him whether you're ready or not ready. I was annoying the fuck out of me.
He wasn't ready.
But then he
didn't want to say to Barry that he wasn't ready.
Why not just say 2 seconds?
To Barry, do you know what, Barry? Give me a minute here. Then Barry would have been like, oh, fuck's sake. And would have just like either
stopped. For some reason,
or
that annoyed the hell out of me. And then then he just shot and he fell down. And I thought the whole destruction of it was all Cyborg's fault, his inability to communicate. I thought, you're such a dick.
Inability to communicate. I love that. What a human trope.
That's teamwork. They need to work on that. You know, it's only their first movie, right?
I mean, thank God the Flash could reverse time. Otherwise, Cyborg single-handedly destroyed Earth of all his capabilities. He couldn't say, I'm not quite ready. I don't know why it really rubbed me the wrong way, but it did.
So, I mean, the ending of the film is like completely different to the original or the Justice version. I suppose this is kind of the original in a way. Does either of you have like a favorite change to the movie?
Well, seeing as this the only memory I now have of the Justice League ending, no.
Well, just to annoy Ryan, I'll pick Cyborg's backstory and all of the extra stuff for that. No, I honestly, what I was thinking there was, would I have been as invested in his story and the whole like Ray Fisher drama stuff if he hadn't spoken out against Whedon and kind of exposed the treatment and all of the kind of studio stuff? It just hit me. I was very aware of it when I was watching the film, and I just wonder if that hadn't kind of happened, then would I have been the same as Ryan and just been like, oh, well, yeah, it was Cyborg, but it didn't really, you know, I don't know.
That's how I sound. Sure, yeah, that's exactly
nice impression.
Yeah, that's a good impression of Ryan, right? Yeah, right?
Just the neck and everything. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm not sure, but oh, do you know what I love though, guys? You know the extended Diana taking out the terrorists or whatever they were up
the
to.
The museum, yes. Yeah, yes. That yeah. Was
cool. How? Because we had spoken about in Wonder Woman 1984, how all of her kind of moves seemed quite labored, and all of the action sequences seemed a little bit heavy.
That's exactly what
Whereas
I thought.
In that, oh my goodness, it looked so smooth, and she was just jumping around. It was gorgeous. That was a great scene.
Yeah, and the music they brought back her music.
Oh, it was awesome.
You know, it was incredible.
So good.
Yeah. I was thinking of you, Joe. I was thinking of you saying that about the music. I was like, here it is, just for Joe.
Yeah, it was a bit. There was a bit where they were fighting Steppenwolf under the big water place, wherever that is, and her like theme song came on, and I just went, fuck yeah. Like, I just paused it and like looked at my friends like, yeah, that is a theme song, and then just played it again like, yeah. It's such a badass theme. The action scene itself was fine, but with the music, chef's kiss. It was so good.
He just nailed it 100%. Like, I keep thinking of the mall scene in Wonder Woman 1984, where the combat just looked clumsy, it looked really badly shot, it looked badly choreographed. And here it was just done perfectly for it. It's how Wonder Woman's supposed to be. I also
Really good at action.
Yeah, he is. But I also thought that if she's fast enough to run across an entire room and deflect every single bullet that the villain was shooting at the kids, I thought that she had enough time to get to him and take the gun. But instead, she did this whole, you know, blast him to smithereens thing. It's like, you could have grabbed the gun.
Yeah.
But she was, Wonder Woman is the arbiter of justice.
Yeah. They made it look like she didn't have the time to get there. And I thought, you did the time.
You go and kill these kids, I'm going to blow you the fuck up, bitch.
Yeah. That's her thing.
Yeah. My favorite change, I agree that it's really good seeing Ray Fisher finally get some screen time and get his sort of side of the movie told. But I'm going to cheat. I'm going to say that my favorite changes were the beginning and the end of the film. At the beginning, I really liked the opening with Superman dying, and you see the shockwaves from his cries and stuff. It was just really atmospheric and kind of weird and eerie compared to the 2017 version, where it's just like a kid filming on the phone being like, oh, hey, Superman. Stupid. But it was really good to see that everybody in the end sequence had a part to play, because the Flash was doing sweet FA in the original. He was like saving people in a car, and Superman was carrying a building. It's like, whatever. Whereas this one, Flash actually got to turn back time, and it was just like a visually arresting sequence. I like that.
I wasn't sure if the ability to turn back time was just a bit of a cop-out.
Just part of Flash.
Yeah, I get that, but I just kind of thought, I don't know. I'm a bit indifferent on that, but I get that it's part of Flash's ability. So,
It was probably originally meant to set up the Flashpoint movie, because he said it line, it was like, make your own future or create your own past. And I was like, oh, you're going to go save your mother from being killed by Reverse Flash. And that's the Flashpoint paradox.
How does Reverse Flash work? I don't get it. Is he like super slow or something?
he's Eobard Thawne from the future, and he admires the Flash, but then turns to hate because it's all obsessive and stuff. And so instead of being the new Flash, he's the Reverse Flash, and he's the reason for Flash's origin. It's all timey-wimey.
Okay.
I was getting this explained to me, and then the whole grandfather paradox came up, and then my brain exploded and I had to go to sleep. So
Eobard Thawne would never exist without the Flash, but the Flash would never exist without him. So, you know, circular.
I'm glad they're going to explore that, because I need to like see that visually and understand how that works.
Yeah. Watch the TV show. I'm not sure they'll ever make a Flash movie now. So,
Josh or Zack Snyder has said he has no inclination of continuing. Like, I think he was meant to do a Justice League trilogy. He doesn't plan on doing it. Not at the minute anyway, but there's no plans in the future for to continue it, because obviously they were setting up the future of the franchise at the end with the long fucking God, that was long ass epilogue, but I don't think he's any inclination of doing it.
I love the epilogue.
It was no, do you know, I am not a huge fan of DC, as you may or may not know.
Really?
And
I don't think you really.
I was ambiguous up until now.
Yeah, but I felt like this Justice League movie did a really good job of actually reeling me in and having me somewhat entertained and a little invested, or at least more so than what I originally was in DC. And then the epilogue happened and they just lingered far too long and they were introducing things that pissed me off. I felt like the kind of nightmare sequence of the Joker really frustrated me, because I thought Jared Leto's version of the Joker sucks. They kind of changed them up a little bit, which it was nice to see, because I didn't like the whole gangster look, but I think he's a really bad job. I think his laugh is awful. Mm. I just don't like him. I think he's the worst Joker in a long time.
Yeah. And I hate that laugh. Yeah.
And the thing is, everybody made fun of that laugh when it came out in 2017. Nobody liked it. Everybody made fun of it. Everybody was commenting on how stupid it sounded. And I was surprised that Zach decided to kind of just let him keep that laugh. They didn't try to change it or fix it in any way. It's just, we know people hate it, but sure, whatever, we'll just have him continue that laugh. And I thought,
Well, you know what? It's weird because Zack Snyder is that he kept something. Just that, you know, something that was in other films that should have been in this film. It should have just been the same, you know, shouldn't have changed it. Anybody know what I might be? Anyone hear Mira talk at all?
Oh, yeah, her accent.
Oh, yes. Yeah. People were saying that her accent had changed. She sucked. I'm glad they hadn't had her in that much, but that was awful. Do you know what? I think I just don't like the whole Aquaman.
She sounded like
world.
The queen. She was coming in being like, yes, Atlantis. I was like, what? Wait, are you not American?
Get back to Atlantis. We must protect the mother box.
I was like, girl, are you from London? Where are you from? I was like, what?
Yeah.
Didn't make sense. And then I looked up and everyone was talking about it and everyone was like, why is this happening? This is so stupid.
I think in the Aquaman movie, they realized that she couldn't do that accent, so let's not even try.
Yeah.
One bit with Mira I really did like. I thought it was really cool. I don't understand why people with water powers don't do this more, was whenever she started like pulling the water and blood out of Steppenwolf's face. I was like, that is a badass
really
moment.
Cool. That was,
cool last moment. And I enjoyed that. More pulling water out of people's faces, please. Avatar, get on that.
Definitely. If you're able to manipulate liquids, blood. It should be all liquids. Yes.
All liquids. Sense. Yes. I'm just going to take your...
Ryan. Yeah. You know, we did well. You know, we did really well on this podcast. Well.
I thought that's what you really got to. What other liquids were you talking about? Not
the
just
blood
water.
And the water. Just what Joe said.
All right. Well, I misinterpreted what you were saying.
I just wanted, I sort of knew you would as well.
Based on what
I
knew of you, Zara, I was just finishing your sentence.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, you actually don't know me because I was talking about blood and water.
Big pervert.
No, I don't know that.
Well, we do.
That's for other people to decide.
Yeah, okay.
As for my opinion on the epilogue.
Wait, I have one more point that really annoyed me.
Okay,
sorry.
You go ahead.
Lex Luthor. I don't like Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor. I think he's a horrible casting choice for Lex Luthor. And it was one of my biggest gripes in Batman v Superman. So when they were bringing him back, I was like, oh, so there was just two major problems I had with the epilogue. And I just, he worked so hard to get me interested, and the epilogue very quickly started making me uninterested.
Yeah.
He was undoing all his work he spent 4 hours doing.
I mean, I wouldn't have missed the epilogue just simply because I didn't know it existed. I didn't really watch it with it being like a movie in mind. It was more like an experiment, which is one of the most interesting things I found about this movie. But the epilogue didn't annoy me too much. I agree. I hated Jared Leto's Joker in the Suicide Squad. Liked him more here because he wasn't doing the whole gangster thing. One of my most hated moments in all of superhero things is whenever he laughs in the club and he has his hand over his face.
Awful.
And he has the
awful
tattooed smile on his hand. Ooh, yeah. I'm glad none of that shit was there. but epilogue, fine. Didn't like the last Martian Manhunter conversation. Out of everything, that felt tacked on. And that was like, hey, sequel. And I was like, is there going to be a sequel, though? I don't know. I'm not sure. But the epilogue, it was neutral to me. But I sort of understood it because we were just getting the full vision of Zack Snyder's Justice League. This is not the movie we would have got had Zack Snyder just been allowed to make the Justice League. We wouldn't have got this movie in theaters. This is like a different experience. It's like the director's cut of the Justice League almost, except even more free because the fans were so outraged that he didn't get it. But epilogue, whatever. Yeah.
With the Mr. Wilson, is that Deadpool?
Yeah, no, talking that's to a Luther. Deathstroke.
Oh, Deathstroke. Okay. Yeah,
Slade okay. Wilson. Deadpool is Wade Wilson.
Okay. Yeah. Is this a brother or is he not a relation?
Deadpool is like a pastiche cartoon funny version of Deathstroke. Right. So.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I've played Injustice, but I didn't know what was trying to be done there. Because I heard Mr. Wilson and then I was like, is this Deadpool? Okay, cool. Thanks, Joe.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds, where are you?
No, I definitely didn't want him to be in this.
Yeah. Ryan Reynolds, yeah.
Did you think that this movie was better? Ultimate question, basically. Was it better than the original? Was it worth it?
Yeah, a million times better.
A million percent.
Yeah.
I would sell my firstborn to have this one over the other one. I'm not going to have children, but if I was, I would do that.
Sacrifice it to the gods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The movie gods. Yeah, for sure. Because like how many films did it take for the Avengers to get together?
Yeah. You had
just throwing it back.
Two, like Iron four Man or movie. Five or something. It was
one of Captain America.
They'd introduce Black Widow in Avengers. You'd Thor. So I'd say
Incredible Hulk.
The Hulk. So maybe four or five.
Mm. Yeah. It's a good few. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in four or five hours, you know, we had them all together and it seemed natural. Like it didn't seem like it was, you know, there was time to breathe in this film because we'd had it even quicker in the other one.
I felt like the action and the scenes nearly spoke for themselves better, as I say, than the dialogue did. To me, the dialogue was just awful in too many places.
Yeah, it was very, very superhero-y.
Yeah.
Very, very cheesy though. Like I felt like Marvel would have done 10 times the job.
Well, Marvel would have joked around the subject for 10 minutes and then said nothing.
Yeah.
Well, that's a fair point.
Marvel would have said lots and lots of words and not said anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whereas DC just goes, we're dealing with superhumans here. Let's just have the dialogue be really earnest and
none of this is actually real life.
I didn't like it. No. Yeah. Didn't like it at all.
One bit of
spoiled
dialogue
by Marvel, Ryan.
I have. Yeah. Probably.
Yeah. One dialogue thing that I did like was a change for Aquaman, because Aquaman in the original, I did not like. He was like a bro surfer dude. He was an asshole. Whereas in this one, there's a comparison that a couple of people have made online. It's whenever Aquaman is talking to Cyborg, like after his dad has died, at least in this one. And in the original one, he's berating Cyborg for not being able to track the cube and like not wanting to shut it down. And he's like really just being nasty. Whereas in this one, he's nice to him. And the Flash kind of goes, oh, I thought you would have been angry at him. And he goes, no, I'm dealing with a kid who just lost his father. You know, why would I do that?
Yeah.
And I'm like, that recontextualizes your character into being a nicer dude rather than being the asshole, which is a weird thing that Marvel does with its teams. It has them not only, it's not like bickering kind of conflict where they're just coming together. It's where they like actively go out of their way to hurt each other. Like in the first Avengers, why is Tony Stark trying to get Bruce Banner become the Hulk? I don't get it. Why is he like poking him with like electrical prods and stuff and just being a general dick? Whereas in this one, yeah, they had trouble coming together, but at least they worked as a team and they got on with their shit. So that's one team dynamic that I did like in this one.
Well, suppose whenever Robert Downey Jr. was doing it, or Iron Man or whatever, like he was doing it for comical effect for the audiences. Whereas before with Aquaman, if he said it to be a dick, it was just to make him look like a dick. It wasn't humorous.
Yeah, but it's humorous to us because it's presented as being humorous. But
in Marvel,
take the humor out of
it.
In Marvel one, it's presented as being humorous, but take the humor out of it and it's like people just acting like dicks towards each other.
That's like the whole Friends thing. If you see Friends at the laugh track, everyone's like, well, they're all just dicks.
It becomes weirdly sinister.
Yeah.
I had a little bit of trouble with some of Aquaman's dialogue. I don't know if it was just the way Momoa was saying it or whatever, but
no,
there was some, yeah, it was a bit of a mumble on the go.
Yeah,
I kind of felt like there were several like, moments in the movie where they'd have some like big superhero landing and somebody would say some stupid little quip. And then several times I tried to say out loud what I thought the, you know, the line would be, some superhero cheesy line would be. And I'd say about 70% of the time, I felt like I was right. Do you know, and I just hated that kind of predictable cheesiness. Mm. That's why I didn't like the dialogue, but there you go.
It's really weird because I find the opposite. I find that the dialogue in this one really, it just was, I don't know, I just loved it. It was just like fun and just like, yeah, funky. Whereas with Marvel, I'm always like, oh, well, of course we're going to say that. So I don't know. It's just like, it's more labored. I don't know. Maybe I just love DC.
Yeah. One thing about DC is, I've sort of said it's earnest. Marvel deals in a style of dialogue that just inserts a lot of bathos into things. Either of you heard of bathos?
Like pathos, but not.
Yes, it's the opposite of pathos, basically. It's whenever, you know, you have like a serious moment, like say somebody's died or something, and then somebody goes, well, that was a lot of blood or some shit like that. You know, Marvel does that shit all the time where something really serious happens and then somebody will joke because, oh no, we can't have an emotion. We can't have the audience feeling anything. They might feel sad. So let's dull that emotion. So instead of being like up and down on a curve of emotions, it's more just gentle wave with Marvel. Whereas DC at least allows certain things to land. One criticism is that Zack Snyder is a really, really over-the-top, operatic director. So all of the visuals call attention to themselves. All of the songs call attention to themselves. So everything feels really important and you're kind of on a constant high. I'm like, I need maybe some time to chill. That's one criticism I could lobby at Zack Snyder and this movie in general, but I'd rather have that.
It was the same purpose, I suppose. It's the same reasoning why he did the whole aspect ratio change. He's just craving
visuals.
Which is, I mean, what's wrong with that? I suppose.
Yeah.
But then, I suppose, in a world or a universe where he's making, or in a movie that where everything is important, then some things maybe lose a bit of importance and everything becomes a little bit lackluster. No.
Yeah.
Like I feel like if he uses it too much, in the same way that I felt like he was overusing the slow motion stuff.
Yeah.
Halfway through the movie, I thought, right, I'm done with this. You're overcooking these sequences.
Yeah, there's no dark and light. It's all light, you know, in a sort of fashion of speaking.
Yeah. I didn't like Steppenwolf. I thought he was a bit generic looking. I didn't like his armor, didn't like his look.
Much better than the Justice.
All the villains, probably, to be fair.
But
even whenever they looked at the, you know, the dark side, you know, whenever they kind of, you see the portal and you see the, what do you call the main villain?
Dark side? Yeah.
Dark side.
I thought they all looked a bit generic.
Mm.
All the villains, I think they all looked a bit boring to me.
They're all designs.
I have to come in there, Ryan, because one of my points is how cool Steppenwolf looked. And I loved his spiky armor. I loved the fact that it shape-shifted those sentinels in Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
That was really cool. I love that. Yeah. And do you know what? I thought you would love that, Ryan, because he's bringing back that broad-shouldered villain hero with the small head and the wide chest from the comic books. I thought you would be all about that.
Punish me,
Daddy. Why would I be all about that?
Because you're always saying you love the physique of superheroes and you love when they're ripped and, you know, so I was like, he's going to love this. But
Speaking of like the ripped thing, see, like, one cool moment with Steppenwolf was when he got shot with all those arrows and he just flexed those pecs, broke those arrows. And whenever he was fighting Themyscira, I was like, damn, Steppenwolf, feel those titties.
He's so ripped, man. He's been in the gym.
Yeah, broke arms with his pecs. Like,
that was cool.
I'm gonna train
he lost
that.
His wee horn, guys. That was sad. Mm-hmm.
The Superman he was all burned sad. It off.
And he like felt for it and he was like, oh.
I'm pretty no longer. I was so beautiful.
It was badass when they punched him back through that kind of interdimensional portal and then Wonder Woman chopped him in half. And then Darkseid just crushed his skull. I did think that was a pretty cool moment.
Teamwork.
That's cool.
Yeah, but I'm not interested. I'm not invested in Darkseid at all. I thought he looked more like a henchman to me.
I think they gave him more motive in this. They gave him more of a, he was trying to please, you know, Darkseid, and he was trying to get his status back. And was a lot riding on
his motives. I thought, yeah, that's a fair point. I actually enjoyed his motives. Like, that was interesting to me.
And he didn't have a weird edible complex with the mother boxes. He wasn't like, mother, throughout this. It was more like, dark side, please, daddy, let me come back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Whenever you look at the Justice League version, Steppenwolf is a huge step up in this movie. He looks weird and waxy in the 2017 one, whereas in this one, at least the armor, it like really justifies him being a CG creation, because you're like, yeah, that couldn't have been done with practical effects. Whereas the other one, you're like, yeah, it'd probably look better if it was makeup.
I can actually see what you mean looking at the
looking at the 2017 version
of Steppenwolf.
I
will admit, looks
really weird.
He does look really weird.
I think we're winning him over, Joe.
I don't know, actually. I don't know. I'm not sure. There's something about the way he is back then. Even he, I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. We'll leave it up in the air.
It is your screensaver, Ryan, and take a wee look at it every so often and see what you think.
Yeah, just have it down the middle and go, which do I prefer?
Have them side by side.
What did you think of this movie as like a sequel to Zack Snyder's previous two, like Man of Steel and Batman versus Superman, and as a bit of a setup for a possible Justice League? Would you want to see more?
I would, yes. Everyone, if everyone just wants to, just everyone can just take their shirts off and just have just their torsos and whatever. Apart from Aquaman, I think he does it too much. He can put his clothes on.
Yeah, keep but, it on.
Yeah.
Get those pecs out.
That's just how all men
look. Everyone, right? Just everybody. But yes, I saw the cohesion, definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw that it as a follow-on, and I saw possibilities for the next films. I can see that they're setting a lot of stuff up. I'm not sure where they're going with it, if they're going to do more standalone films, if they're going to do more Justice League stuff, who's going to direct. I'm not sure, but I'm excited to see what they come up with.
As I say, I didn't like Batman versus Superman. Loved the premise. It was just an awful movie that was far too long. Poor casting, poor villains. Didn't like it. Absolutely hated it. Man of Steel, I was actually considering going back and watching. But if I recall, I think at the time when I seen it, I just felt like it was too much smashy, smashy. How many buildings can we smash through? And I got bored very quick. So I think a Superman movie is a very hard one to do. So that's not an attack on Zack Snyder or anybody doing a Superman movie. I love Superman as a character. I think he's just a very difficult character to write for. But this was the first time, with the exception of Batman, that I really enjoyed watching this kind of collective of heroes. And I enjoy actually Wonder Woman too, bar Wonder Woman 1984. Kudos to Zack Snyder for making me care more for DC. He just very quickly started to ruin it with the epilogue. So there was a fine line.
I mean, I think it's a fairly cohesive trilogy. I don't know if you want to call it that. I mean, all the movies kind of run into each other. Batman versus Superman starts with the end of Man of Steel. This starts with the end of Batman versus Superman. So they're all like directly tied to one another. I was left at the end of the movie going, oh, like, I kind of want Zack Snyder to make another one. I like Zack Snyder. I think he's an interesting filmmaker. He's such a distinctive filmmaker. I do not like all his movies. I liked Watchmen. A lot of people don't, but I do. Did not like that one that he did with all the girls fighting the robots and stuff. They're in the asylum. God, I can't remember the name.
Oh, Sucker Punch.
Sucker Punch. Yeah, I didn't like that.
I forgot he directed that.
I did quite enjoy Sucker Punch. I thought that was a pretty good movie, actually. Yeah. It was enjoyable.
I liked Sucker Punch. I can see the link between those. I mean, as you say, he's such a distinctive style.
And then 300, of course. That's probably his most famous movie. And he has this thing throughout his movies, and it's quite interesting. It's this moral what we would call moral ambiguity or moral grayness, or even perhaps evil. I don't know whether he subscribes to this philosophy, but he at least portrays characters who constantly subscribe to it. It's the Randian philosophy. And it's sort of to do with like exceptional people. It's objectivism, where rich people deserve their money because they earned it or they were born into it. So therefore they're like lineage, whatever. And so you can apply that to superheroes. And there's like an interesting conversation going on throughout these three movies, especially in Man of Steel. Because remember, Jonathan Kent tells Superman, hey, you owe these people nothing, you know? And in a Randian kind of philosophy, the fact that Superman or Cyborg or whoever, you know, just all these powerful people aren't going around killing people, we should all be grateful. Because they're not using their powers for evil. So the fact that they're using their powers for good is kind of interesting for Zack Snyder, because he kind of plays with that, you were saying, destruction-y thing from Man of Steel.
Yeah.
A lot of people died in Man of Steel. But, you know, that was because Superman was like stepping in and stepping up and fighting Zod, who wanted to kill everybody. But what was I going to say? I got sidetracked on philosophy. Sorry. But it's interesting to see a really different take on it, because Marvel's is so, I don't know, Marvel's is so floofy to me. It says nothing. It does nothing for me. Whereas at least Zack Snyder has like a viewpoint for things. Mm. A lot of people don't agree with his viewpoint. A lot of people don't like sort of darker version of Superman or the darker version of all the superheroes.
I absolutely loved it.
But at least it's a take. It's not generic. It is something. You know,
did you ever enjoy Marvel comic books?
Yeah, actually, I was more Marvel.
So you just
Marvel
don't like what Disney are doing with Marvel?
No, they were just making it inconsequential.
Okay. Mm,
that's a really good word, yeah.
That's a very good word.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Word of the day.
I like that philosophy stuff, the fact that it's all linked thematically. I think that's really... Yeah. As you say, it's a take. It's a different way to view superheroes, and like what he did with Watchmen, I suppose. You kind of go from the darker to the lighter. So you search for that humanity within these people who are superhuman, or you know, above humanity. No, I just really liked this take on the Justice League, and it gave everything room to breathe. I mean, you even had Lois Lane and the absence of Superman and all of those. Lois Lane. Lois Lane.
It's
because it's so Americanized. It's like Lois. Yeah. And I like the fact that it was fan demanded. Like, you know, people campaigned for this to come out, and it did. I thought that was really cool. And it was more tender. Like, there was more sentimentality and there was more humanity. Even though it's a film about superheroes, you know, it comes back to human qualities. And I just thought it was cool.
Well, at a time where Marvel is obviously winning, I suppose, the race for viewership and popularity, I think there's something to be said for the fact that Warner Brothers did go back and they spent the extra $70 million when they'd already lost $60 million on the original Josh Whedon's version. So I think that was a real kind of love letter to the fans, you know, where Marvel fans feel like they're being cared for and catered for. And I really felt like Marvel did a service to the fans by allowing this to happen. So I think, you know, I have to commend them, I think, for that, because a lot of studios would have just left it to burn and said, fuck it, well, we're just going to move on to the next, you know, movie. So, and again, as I say, me not really being a DC fan, it was thoroughly enjoyable. And for somebody that hated the 3-hour runtime of Batman v Superman, I loved the 4-hour runtime of Zack Snyder's cut. So good job.
Yeah. let me pick both your brains on this one. So I said earlier on that this is not the movie that we would have gotten in theaters, like had Zack Snyder just been able to finish his movie. This is like an extended cut. And it's interesting that it's released now, you know, on streaming services and stuff. And there's talk of, you know, sort of both ways. You know, we've kind of been on the doomsday side of things, like, oh no, cinema's going. But this could be an interesting way of getting out of the constraints of cinema, because one of the reasons, you know, why the Justice League was cut like it was and cut down so much and just so much missing from the movie was to fit like a 2-hour runtime, because, you know, if you've got a 2-hour runtime, you can get multiple shows in a day and the cinema can make money and studios can make money and whatever. But with this one, you know, they're not constrained by that. You know, Zack Snyder was able to make his full on vision, like it or lump it. This is what he wanted to make. And so could this kind of format actually free creators up to make more interesting kind of things and not be constrained by a theatrical runtime and the shows showing at certain times?
I think so, but it's still dangerous. Like, we've spoken many times before about the danger of streaming services and how they could damage cinema. And Warner Media did come out and say that they were going to be releasing this year, I think. I'm not sure moving forward, but this year they were going to release all their theatrical releases to on their streaming services at the same time, on the same day, from day one. And I think if people can watch that at home rather than go to the cinema, as I say, we've discussed this before, and it could set a dangerous precedence, because there's going to be movies that they're releasing that maybe have the standard 90-minute or, you know, or longer runtimes, and they're going to be releasing that in cinema at the same time on their streaming services. So they're taking money away from that theatrical institute. I think that's dangerous.
Yeah, well, anyway, it's a dangerous precedent if you want to conserve the theatrical institute, and if you think that that is the right way to do things. But, you know, we're experimenting with different formats now, and I think it's kind of interesting. What about you, Zara, as an advocate of cinema? What do you think?
I am a cinema advocate, but also, I mean, the way that you're describing that, Joe, is the fact that cinemas want a kind of neat film runtime so that they can fit more shows in. So is cinema contributing to its own
demise
in a way, because it's, you know, its constraints are set by itself? Because, you know, if you do put something on a streaming platform and also release it in the cinema, to me, that's the way to go, because you've got the choice to sit in your living room.
But who's to say that a 4-hour movie, chill. Who's to say a 4-hour movie would make less than a 90-minute movie?
Oh, well, it would, because it wouldn't get as many showings. You know,
yes,
you
could only have on like 2 in a day. Like maybe those 2 or 3 viewings in a day may still equate to more money than a Men in Black 4.
It's possible.
With,
I mean,
Endgame
was long.
They should probably try that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you might have a cinema that's empty and there's loads of showings of a film. Whereas if there's 3 in a day and they're full for a Justice League cut.
And if you reserve it to maybe something just like IMAX, where you're paying the extra money again anyway. IMAX and VIP, they can still make more, I suppose, but I don't know. Again, I think it's just a dangerous precedent. So if more
to play devil's advocate with you, Zara, you know, if it was a very popular thing, and I think you suggested this as well, Ryan, just say the film was really popular and they replaced showings of other movies in the same cinema with that one so that they could get more things, and then it's pushing more movies out of the market, and so therefore we're getting less movies overall that way. So.
Yeah. Again, the cinema then is putting the importance on obviously earning money and takings and box office. So
they just need to release a standard 2-hour Joss Whedon cut and then a Zack Snyder's cut. People can decide what they want to go see.
Wow. Empty cinema for Joss.
Yeah, absolutely.
Apart from all the bullies.
the people that share his views. Yeah. They'll be loving it.
Anybody goes to see Josh Whedon's, you just spit in their popcorn.
Yeah,
exactly. Did you say salty, sweet, or
popcorn?
Spit?
Yeah. Salty, sweet, or spit, baby. Or shit. Or none. Get out of the cinema. You're not allowed to come here.
Yeah, just leave. Banned. Why am I even giving you popcorn?
You're banned.
That's just a test. It's all a test. It's like the blue pill and the red pill.
Would
you like to see the Josh Whedon cut? This is Zack Snyder's shot. Josh Whedon, get the fuck out.
Yeah, exactly.
Movie taste test.
Where, intruder alert.
Yeah, everyone just look at this loser.
They just disappear into the floor.
Yeah. Society hates you. Just shame them as they're walking out the door. Give them a big cape of shame.
Yeah.
You would so be the Flash, Joe. You would so be the Flash. You would come in with your little observational comedy or whips. Yeah.
So I'd be the Flash. You would be Wonder Woman, you know, because
woman.
I can see.
But also, she's my favorite. Even if she is a woman.
And we've
you know,
already
you know
that
who I'd be.
Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, you know who I would be.
You know who I'd be.
You know. Yes. I just need to gain a few pounds, a lot of extra pounds, actually.
Gains,
yes.
I need to work on my lasso technique.
Lasso.
I need to work on my
don't have
control
to
of the speed force.
This. Yeah.
There forever.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Yep.
Get your dad out of jail.
Yeah. He killed my mama. Gotta go get that law
awkward
degree.
Times.
Yeah,
I didn't really feel like Batman did very much in this movie, apart from assemble the team.
He was
kind of for everything.
I feel
he
like he was.
He just relaxed.
He was like an audience member, just watching everything, wasn't he? I felt like he was sitting beside me on the sofa watching it. He was like, "What's going to happen? Do you think next?"
Hey,
I was like, "Oh
hey,
well,
Batfleck.
You know."
Yeah. Where's the popcorn?
Yeah, well, he had like a whole movie, Batman versus Superman, to get some character development.
He did. Yeah.
True. He had his time.
Out of 10, I would rate this movie probably a good 7.5. Okay. Maybe, no, a 7.75. 0.75, 0.75, 0.75. So I'll sit in the fence between 0.75 and 8.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. I liked it. Well, it was surprising. It was enjoyable. I feel like Zack Snyder did a very good job at just making me a little bit more invested in the DC universe. And for me, that's a big deal. So just less lingering on the epilogues, please. But yeah, I enjoyed it.
And what would you give the original Justice League?
Oh, I'd probably give it like a 4.
Okay.
Yeah, did not enjoy it at all. Very boring.
What about you, Zara?
Ooh, I would give the Justice League a 9. Mm. Because it just felt like Zack Snyder was giving me a hug while also simultaneously punching Joss Whedon in the face.
Okay. Love
and
it.
I just really enjoyed that feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to say. And then for the Justice League, I would give it a 5.5.
That's low for you, Zar.
It's low for me, guys. You know, I go high.
Yeah.
Go high, go home.
Yeah, for the Justice League, like I'm going to give this one a good solid 7. I enjoyed this film. It's one of the few superhero movies where I can just sort of come away from it, actually think about it, and say that I enjoyed it. It left me with, even though it was very desaturated and whatever, it left me with a sense of hope at the end, which was kind of fun. Now, as for the Justice League, I'd probably give it like a 3. I don't see much value in it. So.
Fair enough, yeah.
Well, that's all we have today, folks. A 4-hour epic wrapped up in a nice, neat 4x3 package. Agree or disagree, it's given us all something exciting to talk about in the time where DC has fallen, in my opinion, way behind Marvel. Can they play catch-up? I really hope so. Great job, Zack Snyder. I cannot call myself a real DC fanboy just yet, but you've certainly perked up some enthusiasm. Thanks to Joe and Zara for joining me, and as ever, we hope you have a super weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Make your own past.
Make your own future.
Yeah, make your own past. Go back in time, people. Back to 2019 before 2020 hit.